Well, hallelujah. God is so good. You know, I noticed that Dick is not here. I don't know how many of you noticed that Dick is not here today. And so should we pick on him a little bit? I think, well, you know, he'll forgive us. And I'm sure Jackie will fill him in on what happened. But, you know, I mean, I think this is a true story, too. You know, there was a Chinese man, and he opened a clinic in Niles with a sign that said $50 treatment, $200 back if you're not cured. So Dick thought he could profit. Him being an enterprising businessman that he is, he owns a car dealership, and he's always looking to figure out a way to profit and be blessed, amen, and to prosper. And so he goes to the doctor and says, I've lost my sense of taste. And the doctor instructs his nurse, 2 drops from the red box. The patient tastes the drops, that's Dick, and instantly reacts, this is kerosene, it's disgusting. The doctor smiles, great, your taste is back. That's $50, please. A few days later, Dick returns. He hasn't given up yet. And so this time he says to the doctor, I've lost my memory. Again, the doctor instructs, 2 drops from the red box. Dick exclaims, this is kerosene. You gave it to me last time. The doctor smiles again. Great, your memory's back. That's $50, please. A week later, Dick tries again. He didn't give up. I can't see. The doctor hands him 2 bills and admits, I can't cure your vision. Here's your $200. Dick looks at the bills, but these are $1 bills, not $100 bills. The doctor grins. Great, your sight is back. That's $50, please. Now, I believe that's a true story, don't you? Oh, God is good. Amen. He'll forgive me if I do a joke about him while he's not here. I want to share this morning, and I'm going to preface this message before I do the main message, but I want to talk about 7 reasons real quickly here. I'm going to just go through it. Why we teach faith. You know, a lot of churches, and they go, there's different streams. So why is it we go the direction that we go? Why is it that we teach faith and we always have the spirit of faith in everything we do? Why is it that we always emphasize, have you noticed that? Well, one of the things that helps me know that if I'm teaching faith and if I'm operating in faith, I know I'm on the right track because faith works by love, and if I am exhibiting faith, I know I have love, amen? And the greatest of these is love. Is that true? And so faith and love work together. And so that's one reason why, and that's just a free reason. That's not one of my 7 reasons. And like I say, this is a preface to the other message, but I just wanted to let you know what my DNA is and what direction I go and the reason why I talk like I do and the reason why we talk like we do is because it's a wonderful place to be in Christ, to talk about faith and to grow in faith, amen? And so the first reason why we teach faith and talk about faith is Paul preached faith. Did you know the Apostle Paul preached faith? He said in Romans chapter 10, he said, this is the word of faith which we preach. And so the Apostle Paul preached faith all the time. Because he was an apostle, and he wanted to get people saved, and he wanted to get people solid. He wanted to get people established in their faith, and so that's what he did. He preached faith. And then the second reason is that you can't be saved without faith. Anybody know anybody who's been saved without faith? It's not possible, is it? Ephesians chapter 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's impossible to be saved without faith. So faith is pretty important, I would suspect. And then the third reason is that we need faith to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. Well, if we're going to please God, we have to operate in faith, not works, not trying to get it all done in our own power, in our own ability, our own goodness, but faith. Amen? And so without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. Well, there's another very good reason why we should teach and preach faith. And then the fourth reason is that we needed to fight the good fight. We need faith to fight the good fight and win. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, Fight the good fight of faith. It's the only fight that believers are to fight. We're not supposed to fight each other. We're not supposed to fight different people who have different viewpoints than us. It says we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And the reason it's a good fight is because faith is always victorious. It's always a good fight if you win. Amen. Anybody been on a losing end of a fight? Didn't feel very good, did it? But there's one fight we are to win. There's one fight we are to fight, and that is the fight of faith. Are you with me this morning? And then the fifth reason is that we need faith to move our mountains. Anybody have any mountains or had any mountains in your life? Mountains were made to be moved. And if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would move that mountain as fast as you possibly could, because God has good things on the other side of that mountain. Amen. And so in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "But whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And so it takes faith to move our mountains. And people believe, scholars, theologians believe, that the mountain Jesus was talking about was the Mount of Olives, which has been prophesied that it will break in two and be moved in the end days, in the last day. Did you know that? And so he wasn't just saying that figuratively. He was specifically talking about that mountain at some point in time, in addition to the mountains in our lives. And so we need faith to move our mountains. And then the sixth reason is that we need faith for answered prayer. Mark 11, 24, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." And so faith is required for answered prayer. Now, faith is of the heart. It's not an intellectual assent. It's not something that that we just are convinced in our minds. It says, "Whosoever shall believe in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus as Lord of their life shall be saved." You understand that? And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so that's why we hear the word, because our faith is increased. And then what I like to do to help my faith is to recount past victories. To recount past victories, amen? Because if God has done it for me before, and I know how that was, and I know how great he is, and I know, see, faith emphasizes God's greatness. It doesn't emphasize our greatness. And so when we count past victories that we've had in our lives, where our faith grows, and we are able to move mountains in Jesus' name. God has called us to move the mountains. He will not move them for us. Amen? He's called us to operate in faith and receive his word and allow it to move, work mightily in our hearts. And so that's why I'm a faith person. The seventh reason is faith is our shield for resisting evil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." It didn't say Satan. Sometimes wicked people will shoot fiery darts at you, amen? But when we have got the word of God in our hearts, in our lives, in our mouths, we have that shield of faith, amen? And we are able to quench those fiery darts of the wicked. And so there are many more reasons for preaching and teaching faith. And sort of the way I feel about it is I can teach on pretty much any subject I want. I can preach on, you know, the hypostatic union or the pre-Adamite race or something like that, which I'm sure y'all are excited about, right? But you can teach on pretty much any subject in the Bible, but you can teach it or preach it with a spirit of faith, amen? You can preach and teach the spirit of the subject of holiness in a condemning way, but you can teach the subject of holiness in a spirit of faith way, amen? And so that's what I endeavor to do every time. Because faith, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen? And so that's why we are a faith church. That's why we speak how we speak. That's how we always measure what we say by the word. I guess, here's an example. I mean, you could be led to pray for me, you know, as the pastor. So, somebody could say, "Oh, Lord God. Oh, God. Please. Help Ken. Somehow, just help Ken. I mean, do what you gotta do to help that poor man." Or you could just speak faith and say, "Thank you, Lord God, that Ken has an open door of utterance. Thank you, Lord God, that the greater one lives in him. Thank you, Lord God, that he takes heed to himself and also to the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer. Thank you, Lord God, that he has an open door of utterance. Thank you, Father, that he makes boldly known the word of God. See the difference? You see the difference? I just soon hear the second kind of prayer for me. Amen? And I know those kind of prayers are happening. Hallelujah. And so that's why we teach and preach faith. And that's why we go the direction we go. Amen? You can teach, you know, Dad Hagen, he's written over 100 books. Only 17 of them were on faith, but he's known as the father of faith. Why? Because so many of his other books were about other subjects, but he injected the spirit of faith into all those other subjects. Are you with me? See, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so the more we grow in faith and the more we grow in love and the more we grow in God, the more victory we're going to experience in our lives. Amen? Well, say amen with me if you would. Hallelujah. Well, that was sort of the preface of the message this morning. I just wanted to sort of get that out there and let you sort of know where my heart is and why I talk the way I talk. Because the first thing that the Word of God is going to do to us is going to affect our mouths. If we're growing in faith, our mouths are going to always be changed. We're always going to start saying things in accordance and in line with the Word. Amen? If you'll take a look at Mark 11, 23 and 24, it talks about believing God when you pray, but it speaks about talking more than it even speaks about believing. And you'll see that as you study that a major part of what we believe is what we say. And so it's important that we pray the word, speak the word, and always keep the word as our guide for what we think, what we say, what we proclaim. Amen? So I would like to know, what I'd like to do now is to return to our conversation about the fact that we are in Christ. Now, you remember last week we talked about in Christ. Are you with me here this morning, or did you remember any of that? Let me give you a little bit of refresher. We mentioned that there are only two types of people last week. 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." There's two types of people. There's dead people and living people. There's people in Adam, and then there's people in Christ. That's it. There's only two types of people in the earth today, people in Adam and people in Christ. And so the in Christ is very, very important. We found that the phrase in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, with Christ, and mostly in Christ, that's the phrase most often used in the New Testament, is used more than 130 times in the New Testament. It's used many, many, many times in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. Paul uses it extensively. And so he teaches extensively on in Christ realities, the fact that we are in Christ. And so I always sort of wondered, why does he come up with this subject so much? Why does he talk about in Christ so much? It's really that the in Christ truths are sort of like the conduit of God's, it's a portal for us because we're in Christ. And the in Christ truths are like a portal for us, a conduit for us to go out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so it's so important for us to understand what happened to us when we came into Christ. Are you with me this morning? So it's mentioned 130 times in the New Testament. Now, if you study psychology at all, you probably read that there are three factors that determine the kind of person you are. And, you know, this pop psychology is pretty interesting. It's something called determinism. Have you heard the word determinism? There's three types of determinism that psychology talks about. The first one is genetic determinism. What that means is it's my parents' fault. The second one is it's psychic determinism. Now, what we're talking about is our personalities and the type of people we are and why we make the decisions and the lifestyles that we do. So the second determinism is psychic determination. That means that it's my past experiences' fault. My past experiences have warped my mind, and so I'm determined I've got to be a certain way. And then the third type of determinism is environmental determinism. That means, well, it's the way I was raised or where I came from. I was brought up on the wrong side of the tracks, you know. It's the way my papa did it, my parents did it, my grandparents did it, so that's the way I'm doing it. That's environmental determinism. But the reason it's called determinism is because there is no escape. And so what psychologists will try to tell you is that your blueprint was already printed and you were already designed to be who you were before you had a chance to control it. I mean, you might have a little bit of control, but there's no escape. It's predetermined through these three types of determinism. But the problem is they forgot one other type of determinism. It's called in Christ determinism. You're not going to probably find that in your psychology book. But we're going to talk about that a little bit because in Christ determinism is more powerful than all other determinisms because it goes to the root of our being and recreates us. Totally and completely recreates us. A lot of us as believers, we don't feel recreated, and so we think we're not recreated. But as we get the word in us and we understand what the word says we are, who we are in Christ, why, it changes our whole attitude. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more this morning. Now, out of the Amplified Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ. That is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Amen? And so I like that out of the Amplified. Now, out of the King James, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And many of you know that the original translation means a different species of being that never existed before, a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And a lot of us as believers would say, that doesn't compute. I'm not a new creation in Christ. I still have the sin nature. I still struggle. I've still got all these faults in my life. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, we're going to see what the Bible says about those issues and see if maybe we shouldn't just side in with what the Apostle Paul has to say about the subject. What do you say? Amen? And so, I remember, you may have done this before. Have you ever had a basement that was wet, and the walls were wet? And that, what is that called? Efflorescence comes out of the wall. It's that crystalline stuff. And so you go to Menards or Home Depot or Lowe's, and they got this paint called, Dry Lock or some such. It's real thick stuff, and it says this is going to seal your basement. So one of the instructions is that what you got to do is you got to take a chisel, and you got to chisel everything that's loose on all that concrete. That's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work. And so you chisel it all down so there's nothing that's flaky or loose on that wall. And then you take this thick, thick paint, and you just sort of whitewash the whole basement from top to bottom. And boy, does it look beautiful for a while. And after a year, you might notice a few little yellow spots and a little bit of efflorescence. And after 2, 3, 4, 5, then after 6 or 8 years, it's all back to the way it was before. How many know what I'm talking about? And so we need to understand that that's not how the Christian life is. We're not constantly working, trying to clean up our lifestyle, trying to clean up our act. Amen? And so we need, and what we really need to do would be to just sort of get to the root of the problem. Now, I lived in the desert for 23 years, and I never saw a wet basement for some reason. And so what we needed for some reason, why everything was dry, basements looked great. There might have been a spider, but probably not. Amen? And why was that? Because we got to the root of the problem, got rid of the water, so we transferred that basement. That's what we need. Transfer that basement out of the kingdom of Niles into the kingdom of Las Vegas, Nevada. Amen? And our lives have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Therefore, we don't have to keep trying to repaint our lives and clean up everything and keep after it and try to cover up all the damage that the devil has done in our lives because we've been recreated in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's not a struggle anymore. Amen? We're out of that environment. We've been translated out of that kingdom into the kingdom of God's dear son. And so consider yourself a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now I want to share very quickly, once again, something, just a list of things seven truths that Paul tells us about in Christ. Now, I don't think we're going to necessarily go to the scriptures. If you want to ask me later, we can. But it says, number one, we are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we just read that. Number two, we are accepted in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I love that verse. I love Ephesians 1, 6, that we've been accepted in Christ. That makes me feel good. It really, really does. It makes me feel like, are you trying to tell me that the God of the universe who knows everything about me, everything I've done right, everything I've ever done wrong, I've been accepted in Jesus' name. Amen. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then number three, it says we've been bought in Christ. Another word for that is we've been redeemed, Ephesians chapter 1, 7. It says in Christ, we've been totally bought and redeemed, bought out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. Amen. And so we are new creations. We've been bought with a price. We've been accepted in the beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. And then number four, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. A lot of this is in the first couple chapters of Ephesians. There's many, many in Christ verses in Ephesians. It says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Didn't say we will be when we get to heaven. It says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm excited about that. There's another reason why I'm excited about it. I've heard people say, oh yeah, now that you're saved, you know, God will bless you spiritually, but he won't bless you in the natural. There's no scriptures that would say that he will bless you naturally, only spiritually. So you really can't pray to him about provision or pray to him about healing or pray to him about anything in the natural world. He's not interested in that. He just wants to bless you spiritually. How many have heard that before besides me? Come on, somebody heard that. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, sort of blows that away. It says this, Peter's talking. He says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's spiritual, isn't it? Who went about doing good and only helping people spiritually. Is that what it says? No, it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was sick and oppressed of the devil. And so that spiritual anointing that he received when the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized in water, when John baptized him, John the Baptist, you remember that? From that point on, the spiritual power translated to physical miracles in Jesus' name. And so if the Spirit is moving, things are going to happen in the natural. Amen? It's not just spiritual and visible blessings. And so I'm excited that we have... We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's exciting to me. And then the fifth thing is we have no condemnation or no guilty verdict in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, or it says, I got that mixed up with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. And you're walking after the Spirit if you've been saved. Amen? You have not relied upon the arm of the flesh to get saved. You've relied on the Holy Spirit. And there is therefore now no condemnation to you. There is therefore now no guilty verdict. If there is no guilty verdict, do we have a right, if we're in Christ, to feel guilty or condemned for things we've done wrong in the past? We do not. Are we in agreement with Christ when we feel that way? Are we in agreement with his word when we feel that way? So should we repent from that and say, in Jesus' name, I'm a new creation in Christ, amen? And I'm free from that guilty verdict, and I'm free from that condemnation, and I'm just going to enjoy my life in Christ a little bit more than I ever have before, amen? Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. And so in Christ is what we're talking about. There is no condemnation, no guilty verdict. Number six, we are created in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, once again, Ephesians. We are created in Christ. We are created in Christ. But what kind of stuff do you think Jesus creates? You think he creates all sinful and failure and shortcomings and, you know, people that are just a bunch of losers? No, we've been created in Christ Jesus. God only makes good things, amen? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. in whom there is no shadow of change. And so we thank God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. We are created in Christ. Number seven, we are triumphant in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We are triumphant in Christ. We are triumphant in Christ. Amen? And so I'd rather be in Christ than anywhere else in this universe. Amen? And thank God we are in Christ. And all the blessings of God are in Christ and through Christ. Amen? And so just say this with me. We are no longer sinners, saved by grace. We are now partakers of a new nature. We were sinners, but are now saved by grace. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, where sin doesn't exist because the blood paid the price, and it paid the price for me, and it made me in right standing with God because Jesus paid the price for me to enjoy everything that God has for me. And I could just keep going on, and so could all of us. Amen. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good being in Christ. Amen. There's nothing better than what Jesus did for us. And, you know, when I was a kid going to a particular denomination of church, they always said, we are sinners saved by grace. They always used that scripture, our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. They always made us feel, you know, I saw this one T-shirt, and it sort of went along those lines. And they were talking about some kind of men's seminar, and it said, worm school. I thought to myself, I ain't going there. I want to go to new creation in Christ school, amen? Amen. And so we realize that that's what the Bible says, that we all our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we also realize that our righteousness was what? Nailed to that cross, that Jesus paid the price, and it was exchanged. And now we are walking in God's righteousness in the fullness. And, you know, some things I just feed on a lot. I love that. I love that subject. And we'll continue to talk about things like that until the Lord comes, amen, or until we go on home to be with the Lord, because it's so good. And so I want to share something about how being in Christ conquers sin. And I want to share a few verses here, then we'll just sit back and talk about it a little bit. And then I think we'll be done. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, we'll start with that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Then verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I want you to remember Romans chapter 6, 6, it says, is crucified what? With him. Our old man is crucified with him. And then over in verse 10 of the same chapter, it says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So now it went from death to living. And then in verse 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice it didn't say, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin when you perfect your lifestyle and make everything just so. Is that what it says? No, he said unconditionally, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. Amen? Thank God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. And then in verse 12, it says, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And so a switch has taken place here. A switch is taking place because we're in Christ, and that is instead of sin reigning over us, we now reign over sin. Isn't that good? And so we thank God for that. And then in verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. And so many churches all across the nation, they don't believe that. And many of us, we just believe it to a degree. And so we need to hear this word so that we can say, I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am free from sin. He who is in Christ is dead to sin. Amen? Some people, they teach that sin nature resurrects every morning when we get up. And it's a struggle. And we have to fight that sin nature. But here, we just read from the Apostle Paul that our sin nature, the old man, is dead. If he's dead, how can he resurrect every morning? Amen? And so all we have to do is realize and know that the greater one is in us, that we are now new creations, that we are partakers of the divine nature, that we don't have to sin. We are no longer have that sin nature. It's gone. It was crucified. And see, in Christ, this is what's so wonderful. This is the conduit, or if you want to call it that, or the portal that God uses to transfer us out of one kingdom into the next. This is it. First we die. So we died with Christ. You know, I've never been so excited about dying in my life because our old self was dead. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bring new fruit. Amen? It cannot bear fruit. So the first step to bearing new fruit and experiencing newness in Christ Jesus is literally to realize that you were crucified with Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 2. Amen? And that you identify with Jesus Christ. And when he died on that cross, and when he was put in that tomb, and that stone was closed up that tomb, spiritually speaking, and in a very real sense, you identified and you were in Christ when that happened. And when he died, your old self, your old sin nature died, and he paid the price through his death and his burial. Are you with me? And that old sin nature is buried. And so you don't have to say, oh, it's my sin nature. No, you don't have a sin nature anymore. It's the flesh that likes to rise up, and that can be taken care of just by renewing your mind to the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I learned something that was very effective when I was in track in high school. The coach said, don't talk about or think about what you don't want to have happen. Talk and think about what you do want to have happen. And so what I did, I was a distance runner. I wanted to run a sub-10-minute 2-mile. Well, I was running somewhere around 10:25 on a good day, something like that. And so I said, I want to run a sub-10-minute 2-mile. That's what I want to do. That's what I thought about. Well, I thought about what kind of splits am I going to have? Well, I'm going to have right around 75-second splits. You all knew that, right? Per lap, 75 seconds. You knew that, right? And so that ends up being exactly a 10-minute 2-mile. And so, I'm sorry to say I didn't quite do it. I got a 10:02. But a 10:02 is a lot better than a 10:25. Now, if I had been thinking about, well, I just want to run 11 minutes, I want to beat 11 minutes, what would I have run probably? 10:59. Point is simply this. Let's speak the word. Let's think the word. Let's talk the word. Let's enjoy the word, amen, and allow that word to raise up our lifestyle, amen, and allow us to be all that God has called us to be. Are you with me this morning? And so we are in Christ. And then when we died, and then the good part is after that, after we died in Christ, after our old self was buried in Christ, we rose up like that seed was buried and bore much fruit. Jesus was the seed. He bore much fruit. We are that fruit. We are now risen to life in Christ Jesus. The greater one is in. The power of life is in us. And we are no longer have to struggle and work and be under a heavy burden to try to earn God's favor. No. That's works. That's the law. And that negates what Jesus did for us in the blood. The blood says you are pure. The blood says you are worthy. The blood says you are righteous. The blood says you are identified with Christ and you went through his death, burial, and resurrection to newness of life in Jesus' name. Are you with me? You know, anybody ever been to that place, Silver Lake, up close to Lake Michigan? And you know, the Silver Lake is a cool place. It's not on Lake Michigan, but it gets to be within a few hundred yards, I think, at one point. And on the north part of that Silver Lake where the dunes are, anybody ridden the dunes over there? Those dunes are pretty fun, huh? Yeah, having been in the desert for 23 years, I did a lot of dune riding. And so we went over there and did some dunes. I saw this house just before you entered the park. It's right on the edge of the dunes. A nice-looking house. I mean, right next to the dune. Some of you may have seen that house. And right next to the house was a big, giant, yellow front-end loader. And what they used that for, I found out from the locals, I suspected what it was for, is that that sand, every day, the wind, the prevailing winds blow that sand. This is a nice-looking house. It looked to me like it was worth several hundred thousand dollars. It was in really good shape. Up toward the north side of the lake over there and the south side of the dunes. And so what they had to do is on a regular basis take that front-end loader and take that sand and get it away from the house on a regular basis. They couldn't sell that house unless the front-end loader was included, because if you don't have a front-end loader to move that sand, the house is going to get buried. How many have seen that? So you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it sort of reminds me of us as believers. We got to do all this heavy lifting, we think. We got to clean sin. We got to clean the old dead man. We got to renounce the deeds of the devil. We got to renounce all this stuff, and we got to do all this heavy lifting. And if we don't do it, it's all going to come back in and just bury us. And it's a hard life, and it's a tough life, but it's the life of the Christian pilgrim. It's the cross we must bear. And Jesus saying, what up, dude? Why don't you just read my word and realize that my burden is light, amen, and that the sin has been taken care of. And you might as well rejoice in me in Jesus' name and enjoy my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't anybody go buy a front-end loader. That's pretty much what I'm saying this morning, amen? We don't need to do a bunch of heavy lifting, a bunch of laboring, a bunch of hard work to try to earn our righteousness before God. All we need to do is acknowledge who we are in Christ Jesus and say, yes, Lord, that's for me. And don't let the devil steal our joy and our peace and our righteousness in Christ, and enjoy who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Well, praise God. So the importance of death, the importance of the burial, and the importance of the resurrection. That's what we read in Romans chapter 6. And that is just something that I believe I need to remind the devil of and remind myself of on a regular occasion. Devil, my sin nature was crucified. Sorry, devil, you can't any longer put your condemnation and your guilty verdict on me, amen? Because my sin is dead. And Jesus, and not only that, I've risen to newness in life, and I'm now accepted in the beloved. Amen. And I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is my elder brother and your elder brother. And we are new creations in Christ Jesus. If you agree with that, stand up with me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did anybody get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. It's 11:26 a.m. I've got 4 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Thankfully, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. God is so good. Let's just thank him for a minute, okay? Let's just thank him for his indescribable gift of righteousness in Christ Jesus that he's given us. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that the burden is lifted, that Jesus, you've made us new creations, and part of that new creation is that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are partakers of your new nature, that the sin nature is dead, and we are dead. We have been crucified. Our old self has been crucified, and we've now been risen to newness of life in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this, Lord God. And Father, we purpose in Jesus' name, whenever the devil, the accuser of the brethren, whenever, even if it's another believer that tries to put condemnation on us, we know where it comes from, and we say, nope, devil, nope. We believe the word. We are new creations in Christ. Our old sin nature was crucified, and we no longer. And the Bible says, he that is dead is freed from sin. And so I thank you, Lord God, that we are freed from sin. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Amen. Well, praise God. You are blessed to be a blessing. Thank you so much for being a part of us. Hallelujah. Love you guys. Feel free to stick around and fellowship a little bit. God bless everybody.